the love of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making the wise simple.
Welcome to The Simple Truth. You did not tune in by accident. This show is dedicated to all believers in Jesus Christ. Do you feel like there's something missing from your walk with the Lord? Are you tired of being deceived? Then you've come to the right place. Grab your Bible and let us introduce you to the real Jesus. Our mission is to help you unravel the Scriptures and gain a greater understanding of God's Word, showing you how the Old and the New Testaments mesh together so perfectly. All of life's questions are answered in God's Word. So throw out any preconceived notions and any traditions of man, and join us as we search for God's truth. This is what you've been looking for.
Well, greetings, friends. We got Mark and Ted back again today. We're going to pick up where we left off with yesterday's show. Jesus tells us what is required from us to be in his family. Let me read this. Luke 18:19.
No, that's 8:19.
I don't know. It looked like 18, but it's not. I don't know. I'm seeing things, I guess. Luke 8:19. Then his mother and brothers came to him and could not approach him because of the crowd. And it was told him by some who said, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you." But he answered and said to them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." So he tells us three things are required to be his family. We have to hear the word. And what are we supposed to do when we hear the word? We're supposed to do it. It says, "My brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it."
Yeah, for Christians who think that we don't need to do anything, you have something to reconcile here.
That's right, because Jesus said, if you don't hear the word and do it, you are not his brother. Now, that brings up that nasty four-letter word that a lot of Christians hate, works. As if that's a cuss word or something, a bad word. Well, you know, you need to go back and read James if you think that works are bad. Now, works are only bad when you don't have faith and you don't understand that you're saved by grace. But once you have faith and once you understand that it's not your works that save you, it's your grace, you will understand that in order to be saved, you better have some works. Because if you're not doing what God's Word says, you're not Christ's brother. I know it seems harsh, but we're trying to wake the world up. We're being like, you know, the Ezekiel message. Blow the trumpet. Sound the warning. You know, and if we don't do it, well, then the sins of the people are on us. We have to warn them. We have to tell them.
And, you know, as previously defined, the Word of God is the Scriptures, or in this case, the Old Testament. So when it says, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the Word of God," that's what God said in the Old Testament.
That's right, because when Jesus said this in Luke 8:19, the New Testament did not exist at that point. Let's go on here. He says some more in the same light.
Luke 11, starting at verse 27. And it happened, as he spoke these things, that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nurse you." But he said, "More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it."
You know, Ted, it just hit me that, you know, the Catholics have the Mary worship and they want to make her the co-redeemer in Christ. And, you know, they want to, basically, they worship Mary. And but Jesus said, well, you know, he wasn't downplaying his mother. He loved his mother very much. But he said, no, you got your priorities wrong here. This is more than that. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. You got to hear it. You got to do it. How do you do it? Well, you keep what it says. You have to be, here we go again, obedient.
Ooh, that's a very bad word.
Oh, I know. A lot of in some churches, that word is not allowed. You can't say obedient because that, you know, infers that God wants you to do something, that he expects us to listen to what he says and to do it.
And what was Jesus' example when he was here? This is the same Jesus that washed the disciples' feet and like a servant. And to be a servant, you have to be, you know, obedient. So I guess it's okay with Jesus to be obedient.
Yeah.
Put it mildly.
Put it mildly. Not only is it okay, it is expected. Okay, so far we have the following terminology. Word in Scripture, we've defined what that means. As far as, you know, what's the word that was being used in the Old Testament? In the New Testament here. Well, that was the Scriptures from the Old Testament. We've also talked about hear, to hear something. And once you hear it, guess what? We have to do it or keep it. Or like Paul said, we have to imitate Christ, imitate him just like he imitated Christ. And don't forget that Jesus said that everything he said and did were not his words, they were the Father's. All right. A lot of people think that when Jesus said that we had to hear and do, this is something new. But Jesus tells us everything he says comes from his Father. Well, you know what? This happened once before.
Now let's read about that in Exodus chapter 24, verse 7. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it, and read in the hearing of the people. And they said, all that the Lord has said, we will do and be obedient.
Oh, see, this word of the Lord, all that the Lord has said, who is the Lord of the Old Testament?
Jesus.
Most people don't realize that. He hasn't changed. The Bible says that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He wanted us to hear the word then and to be obedient. He wants us to hear the word now and be obedient. Remember what we read? Jesus says, whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother. In other places, Matthew 12:50. Obeying God, obeying the Scriptures, doing what the Scriptures, the Old Testament and the New agrees with the Old, makes, you know, doing that, we are able to be a member of God's covenant family. We are able to be Christ's brother or sister.
By the way, wherever you think that the New Testament is usurping the Old Testament, you're not interpreting that right. You need to go back and read it again, and if you love God with all your heart and ask him for understanding, he'll give it to you.
That's right. If you think that the New Testament does away with the Old somewhere, or the Old Testament disagrees with the New, you are misinterpreting the Bible incorrectly. That is where all of this crazy doctrine comes from these cemeteries and these professors that don't let the Bible explain the Bible. Let's take a look at some of the Scriptures. Scriptures that Jesus read. How about Jeremiah?
Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 11, starting at verse 2. Hear the words of this covenant, and speak to the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and say to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, Cursed is the man who does not obey the words of this covenant, which I commanded your fathers in the day I brought them out of the land of Egypt from the iron furnace, saying, Obey my voice, and do according to all that I command you. So shall you be my people, and I will be your God.
So he hasn't changed. He wanted his people to obey him then. He wants his people to obey him now. He says, Obey my voice. Do all that I command you. And then if we do that, we will be his people and he will be our God. Now, the early church kept the covenant and the Torah, the law, and you know what? This spread and the people were converted. Look at how the New Testament church grew.
Let's read from Acts chapter 6, verse 7. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith.
Well, Ted, you know, once you get into this and you start understanding what these terms mean, this one verse has got a whole mouthful in there. First of all, let's look at it. It says the word of God spread. What's the word of God?
Well, as we said before, the Word of God is the Old Testament, because at the time this was written, the New Testament wasn't put together yet.
And then it says the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. Well, you know, here we get into a new term. Now, when people read this verse, the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, they automatically assign their own definition as to what disciple means.
It's got to be confusing to a lot of people because they're thinking, oh, I thought there were only 12. What do they do? Do the square root? Or?
Yeah, I mean, most people, when you think about, if you would say disciples, they'd think of, oh, well, Matthew, Mark, Luke, you know, immediately the, you know.
So they're thinking apostles.
Yes. So, what does the word disciple means? And then one last, we're going to go and explain this, and then one last thing, it says, a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Well, that's like, most people are going to think, well, of course. Well, wait a minute, though. It wasn't until the word of God spread and the disciples were multiplying that a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. You know, just like today, a climate existed in Jesus' time where the religious leaders were not always obedient to the faith. Just because you were a priest did not mean you were obedient to the faith. Just because someone is a minister today does not mean that they are obedient to the faith either. I mean, there are some examples, and they're the more, you know, recent and have received a lot of press coverage, but anybody that, Jimmy Baker fiasco scandal and Jimmy Swaggart, and, you know, all the scandals that have rocked churchianity in the last few years, everybody knows about them. But those are, you know, the famous guys, and that's why you hear about it. But, you know, there were a lot of priests that were not obedient to the faith. And there are a lot of ministers that are not obedient to the faith also. The priesthood was corrupt. And it's a sad, sad time when we have to admit much of churchianity's ministry is corrupt. We're going to have to get into the definition of a disciple, Talmudim, tomorrow. We'll come back and tell you what that means. The Seventh-day Church of God, the sponsor of the Simple Truth Show, meets every Sabbath, that's Saturday, at 2:30 in the afternoon. We are not like any church service you have ever attended. Is something missing in your relationship with God? Has God put a burning desire in your heart for you to draw near to Him? Do you need help in learning how to do that? We are located at 6636 Central Avenue Pike, Knoxville, Tennessee. That's 6636 Central Avenue Pike, Knoxville, Tennessee, in the Central Point Business Park. This is just south of Callahan Road on Central Avenue Pike. Exit I-75 at the Callahan Road exit. That's one exit just north of Merchants Drive. The church is in the north side of the building.